Director Kevin Colbert joins us now. Kev, welcome. Always good to see you. And I was remarking to Dale earlier, the scope of this thing, it's just, I mean, look how big this become. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
No,
it's bigger than the Super Bowl.
I think it's the second biggest media event to the Super Bowl is what we were told yesterday, which is, hey, it's great for the great for our game. What we have to be careful with, of course, is we have to protect why we're here, and that's to get the information we need on potential prospects, and that's the medical information, the workout information, the interviews, psychological, and everything else around it. Great. It helps our game and helps the players ultimately.
I know you use the measurables and the drills and that as supplemental information, but the purpose of the combine, but what's most important? Is it medical and then interviews? Is that the way you kind of look at it?
Medical, or? For sure.
Right.
Because obviously we want to know where these players are coming from college into our game and what challenges they may have medically and what challenges we'll have, getting them ready to play for us. So that's most important. The psychological and the personal interviews, that's the part I really look forward to, because to this point we've watched them play football, we've watched them practice, we've watched them play games, we've watched their videos. We know the player, we hope, but what we can learn about the person under the helmet is more important.
Weren't the medical interviews, wasn't that kind of the reason for to have the combine?
No question.
Initially, right?
Yes, because you have 32 teams at that time. I don't know how many we had exactly. It might have been 28 or so, but you know, to have a kid take a physical for however many different teams,
right,
it's a little unrealistic for the kid, especially if he's still attending class. So they come in here, they get it done over a four-day period, and they'll still make some visits in the spring, but again, it has to be at their convenience.
Have there been examples, and I cited a couple earlier, but examples where the medical either maybe helped support a pick, and also where, and I know you won't want to say, but where it kind of discouraged you, maybe a guy and you thought, we don't like his medical, we better just go on to somebody else.
You just try to quantify what your doctors find, and you manage it. And again, everybody's going to come in with a different medical status, and we just try to identify it, we quantify it, and we factor it into our selection process.
Kevin, there's a large quantity of linebackers looking at this draft who fit the size ratio of a Ryan Shazier. Are there any guys in this draft who fit the playmaking ability of a Ryan Shazier?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of real good players in this, in the draft at that position. I shouldn't say there's a lot. There's a certain number of high quality, and then there's a certain number of guys that are prospects. But to put anybody in Ryan's category, I think, is unfair to both Ryan and to the potential player, because the potential player may see himself as better, and maybe in the long run he will be better. But Ryan was a unique talent, and again, he did great things for us, and he's going to work to try to get back and do more.
Kev, you said just a little bit earlier on the combine that you said that Ryan will not play in 2018. We know that. He knows that, is what you said. And you believe you had kind of indicated that last week, but, I said that was like the first official declaration that he won't be back, even though probably everybody has maybe understood or assumed that. But anyway, but he's around. He's doing some work, some rehab stuff there. He's going to be in meetings, film sessions. He's an active part of what you guys will continue to do, even though he won't play next season.
Correct, and that's his choice. I mean, he has a routine now where he comes in, he does upper body work on his own with his own trainer, just to stay in physical condition. And then he'll take a break, he'll do some football work. Again, it's all up to him, because technically, rules prevent players from being in your facility and working with the coaches, but they can come in and manage their own issues, and that's what he's doing. He comes in, he'll spend time watching video on X and O stuff, and we'll have him sit in on personnel meetings just to watch different things that we're doing, because he will be, even though he won't be on the field in 2018, he's going to be a huge part of the 2018 team. And along those lines, the emotional support that we give him, he gives us back tenfold. And we're just looking forward to keep pushing and him pushing and getting better. And there's no ceiling on how far his recovery can go, because nobody knows, including the experts and himself.
Now, as you also mentioned, there's really no special dispensation for his situation with the league. He's basically treated just like a guy who basically blew out a knee or anything like that. I mean, there's
correct.
His salary is locked in at what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, because we exercised that option prior to last season, you know, financially he is under contract for the 2018 season. We have to determine what list he'll go on when it's the appropriate time to make that move. And we understand that, you know, as we enter training camp, we're going to be entering training camp with 89 players because he will count until we make that designation. And that's fine. That's where it is. That's not going to change anything that we do with him or for him or what he does for us.
Will he go on the pup list or IR? You don't know?
Those are the things we have to walk through and make sure that we're doing it from a correct league, you know, the format that we have to follow and to make sure he's taken care of.
We're talking with Steeler General Manager Kevin Colbert here at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And, Kev, Dale kind of touched on this. In your opinion, a good draft for, quote, inside linebackers, the guys who either played there or maybe some outside guys who could transition? Do you feel there's some enough players out there?
Like I said, there's a few impactful players. Not a lot, but there's a lot of numbers at that position. The guys may have one talent. They're better against the run. They're better in coverage. They're better chasing, those types of things. So they all have some – there's a lot of guys that have individual talents that we may have to sort through. But impactful players, no, there's not a ton of those at that position. That's one of the leaner spots. Wide receivers the same way. I can't say there's a lot of impact wide receivers, but there's a high number of wide receivers that'll get drafted, as it's pretty much every year.
Yeah, and you never know where you're going to get that next great player out. I mean, you get Antonio Brown in the sixth round. As you mentioned, when you're on the podium, you drafted Emmanuel Sanders that same year, and you just don't know how it's going to work out for some guys. Some guys just have that ability to elevate their game. Speaking of another guy who has done that since he joined you guys, Le'Veon Bell. Anything new on that front as the deadline approaches to put the tag?
No, it's still our intention to sign Le'Veon to a long-term deal. Again, we know there's a franchise tag. Of course, he and his representatives know there is. We don't like to talk about it, but it's never something we'll give away, of course. But their goal and our goal is to get a long-term deal done, and we're going to try to do that, and we are trying to do it at this stage.
Kev, will you use free agency? You've done this in the past where you'll take at maybe a position of need where you'll take a player, assign a player in free agency to kind of back yourself up so you have something heading into the draft and then address it with a younger player in the draft. Is that something that you feel you either would like to do or need to do, say, at inside linebacker going forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, we can look back at last year's draft. People were, you know, projecting, hey, you might take a corner. Well, we ended up taking two corners, and then we signed one in free agency as well, Cody Sensabaugh. So when you have some holes you need to fill, you probably want to put more than one person in the mix, and we'll try to do that. You know, either through free agency in the draft or through the draft exclusively. You're not going to stack up in free agency just because you have some salary cap limitations that will limit that. So it could be a combination as we get through these next couple weeks.
Kevin, the compensatory picks, I should say, came out last Friday. Were you surprised that you guys didn't get at least one?
No, we knew that we were probably on the downside of that this year, and that was okay because we thought we had some free agents that came in and helped us, especially Tyson Alualu, who's really a significant help for us along the defensive front. So if the players we signed played well, I don't worry about the comp picks so much. Again, we're going to try to keep more and sign more than we lose. And if we don't get a comp pick because of that and it's successful, great.
Kev, it's almost remarkable in today, especially if you sign Le'Veon Bell, that in today's NFL that you could keep all five offensive linemen, your top wide, the highest paid wide receiver, the top flight running back, and $100 million quarterback. How have you been able to do that?
Well, you just try to manage the cap. I mean, there'll be some other positions that don't quite get paid, and quite honestly, you have to have the young players, that aren't at the big contract, they have to be significant contributors, as Le'Veon was for 4 years prior to his being franchised last year. He was on his rookie deal. So it's very important that the rookies, the young players, play because they have to contribute against other things like that. Omar Khan does a nice job of managing that, and when we have to do restructurings, we walk through it, and for a given year, we'll look at, okay, this is what it does for us this year, but how does it impact 2019, 2020, and 2021? Because we're always trying to make sure that we're as good as we can be in the current year without ever taking ourselves and bottoming out in future years, and that's a challenge. It's been really up until this year, it had been a challenge in the, you know, the late 2000s because our Super Bowl teams were growing older. And then we had the last few years it hasn't been such a challenge, but now it is again because we have some significant players making significant bucks.
Part of the problem in those years, though, is the cap kind of stagnated in 2011, 2012. And in fact, I think at 1 year it went down a little bit. That's not happening now, but you guys still won't know what that official cap is for what, another?
We don't. It could be that it could be the day before. We're always projecting, and we always err on the side of caution as we go through these different scenarios now. And if it exceeds it, great. Then we go into the season with a cushion that, unfortunately, gets eaten up with the reserve injured players as they go down traditionally. So we don't know what it is. We won't know. When it becomes official, we'll adjust. But in the meantime, we'll work on a cautious scenario until it's official.
You have three restricted free agents, is that right?
Let me verify that. I'm trying to think who's left.
I think it's Boswell,
Boz,
Eli. Chickalo, and Eli.
Chick and Eli, correct.
Yeah, now Boz, you'd like to sign him to a long-term deal. I know that was kind of the hope or intention last year. I would imagine that still holds true.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those kids, I mean, they're going to be part of our team next year, and if we can get deals done with their agents before they become unrestricted guys, that would be something that we would entertain because they're all a big part of what we do. Unfortunately, Eli, you know, suffered the ACL injury in the playoff game, and he has a.
It was right near the end of the game.
He has a medical challenge.
I think there was 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah,
when it happened.
He has a medical challenge. So, but you know, you'd like to have those guys be part of your team going forward for the long term.
Fitzgerald Toussaint is unrestricted.
Oh, yeah. No, Fitz is a restricted guy as well.
He's restricted. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's why I was confused, yeah.
There was a report last week that said that you guys were listening to offers for Martavis Bryant. Any truth at all to that? Or
I can address this very officially. We have never, ever made one phone call offering Martavis Bryant for a trade. Teams have inquired to us based on media reports about the possibility of us trading him, and we have quickly dismissed those. Martavis is a Pittsburgh Steeler. We want him to continue to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. He put together a great season last year. You know, a lot of kids don't make it back from the one-year suspension, and he did. And he did a lot of good things. He did a few things I think he regrets, you know, with the social media aspect of things, but he got through it. He finished great, and we are absolutely not in the trade market for we're not pursuing it, and if anybody pursues us, we quickly dismiss it.
Kev, well, thanks for joining us. I know you're here through the entire time, but Tuesday, right?
Monday night.
And then what, did you fly or drive this year?
I flew out.
You drive, you go back on the bus?
We go back on the bus.
You take everybody?
Yeah, everybody that's left. I mean, a lot of coaches leave you know, once their position's done,
right,
they leave.
Go. Yeah.
But we usually have about 12 to 14 people that get to enjoy a nice 5.5-hour bus ride.
Yeah, don't look for me on Sunday. I'll be gone.
That's not fair.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Yeah.